You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 398. Welcome to the Punk News Podcast. My name is Adam White. I'm recording for you here in my basement in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Joining me onto the show this evening, we have Mr. Ricky Frankel out in Los Angeles. Ricky, how's it going?
Been a busy week, man. No John here. I'm the one doing the reviews like I was telling you before we started recording. Working on an interview.
Sweeping the floors.
Yeah, basically, I mean, along with Sam and some of our newer editors, I've been having to run the ship. I gotta tell you, I don't like posting reviews. It was that just wasn't my thing. I got a couple reviews of myself that I did myself finally up. We're definitely don't have enough staff when John's not here.
Yes, so, welcome to my life from like 2002 to 2006.
Yeah, that's just sort of been my a good part of my life this week. So I'm happy to be on the podcast.
It is all encompassing. Also tonight we have Mr. Tom Trauma out there.
You're doing an awesome job, Ricky.
Thank you.
But yeah, Tom. John does a lot of the heavy lifting around here, no question.
Tom, should we tell people where John Gentile, our regular co-host, is?
You know, Adam, the thing is, I know where he is, and you know where he is, but he's not doing any of the things that any normal red-blooded American men would be doing when they were there, right? Smoking weed and visiting the red light district.
Well, and I figured with all of my drug talk on the last episode that John was just like, fuck it, I'm up and going to Amsterdam and getting in on this. But that's not what he's doing.
No, he's not.
No.
Sipping tea somewhere.
John is sipping tea. So he is – John decided that he was going to go to what is purportedly the world's largest record convention.
So we won't have to worry about being on the podcast next week because it'll just be John sitting there for 1 hour and 15 minutes talking about the records he bought.
Yeah. Now, apparently he has also threatened to call into our recording because
we'll see.
That's what he wants to do. So we might get a really bad cell phone call from from Europe in a few minutes at some point, but we'll see what happens.
Here's how you handle this, Adam. Oh, sorry. You're breaking up. Red button.
So, I mean, have you been to Amsterdam, Mr. Tom?
I have not. And the funny thing is, I know I've mentioned this before on the pod, but Western Michigan, where I live, is Dutch, man. With this whole area was founded by Dutch. I am about half Dutch. My wife is about half Dutch.
It's just fields of tulips as far as the eye can see.
We are a Dutch people, and I have never been there. But you got to remember, the Dutch that came to America were like the super religious Dutch, as opposed to like the very liberal progressive Dutch that still live there today.
I've been to Amsterdam once, and we were in there on like a on the, we did one of these incredibly stereotypical like early 20s pan-European bus tours that like young childless people go on.
Sure.
where you go to like, you know, 17 cities in like 12 days and spend a total of like 6 minutes everywhere, but at least you can cross those places off your list. Sure. So we spent like a day and a night in Amsterdam, and we
are you saying you and your wife or you
yeah
and
yeah
some we, buddies
we,
or,
okay. we yeah we were married 2 years when we went on this trip. We didn't have any kids yet, and even us being married 2 years made us old people on this bus.
Yeah,
because it was full of like, you know,
most people like only owned a backpack.
Hot international singles that are coming on this tour to, you know, go crazy and drink. And it was interesting because it was I want to say maybe like 4 or 5 Canadians on the bus, maybe an American or two if at all. And then everyone else was either from like Australia, New Zealand, or South Africa, or a handful of other places in Africa. And it was a weird to be like the most Western kind of like American-ish person in the group. And on the other hand, it was weird to have like no Americans in that mix, like at all. And it was strange. And the Australians were stepping up to be like the big loud party animals of the international mix that we had. So there was no need really for, you know, you didn't need like some loud corn fed boy from Kansas there to yuck up the place, because like you had these fucking Australian guys that were like 30 feet tall and could, you know, drink 16 cases of beer in a sitting. It was amazing.
Could hop like a kangaroo.
Holy shit. Mm. And they had the rivalry.
Give them a run for their money and tried to be the you know, the ugly American. I would have tried.
I mean, like if this was like the Fantastic Four, the Australians were the thing in the mix. But so we were in Amsterdam and we're wandering around, and our guide is, we're in the red light district, and our guide is like, look, we're going to wander through here. It is the red light district. There are going to be, you know, women standing in these storefronts, you know, with the lights on, soliciting. There are certain rules to this. You can look at them because that's what they're there to try to attract you to do. Do not take their picture because they will fight you like on the street. And that we all had a laugh. We're like, ha ha ha. Yeah, they'll fight someone on the street. And we're walking through. And then some girl that was on the tour, like she snuck her little camera phone out and like tried to take a picture of just like, I don't think of anyone in particular, but just like the windows kind of thing. And some woman like burst out, like wearing fucking like negligee, like burst out of the thing. It was like, I'll cut you, and like chased us all away. Like it was amazing.
I bet you that same thing happened to John. I'm
hoping that John has those experiences. And like, you know, we were wandering around and getting into all the various sort of like Amsterdam-y things that one gets into. I was for the most part not, because this was like pre.
Well, this is pre-weed Adam.
This was pre-drugs Adam. So this was just.
But I mean, in all fairness, weed Adam is literally like 6 months old. So.
He's a baby. He has like a 15-year-old's enthusiasm about it. I didn't do those things, but we're wandering about, and the one thing that came up as like something that we could do during our time in like the red light district was like, it was like, oh, there's a live sex show. Who wants to go to the live sex show? And there's this moment where like, you know, I'm not a prudish person or anything like that, but we stopped and we thought about it, and we're like, do we want to go sit in the theater or whatever? Like, I assume it's a theater or whatever this venue is, and like watch some people fuck. Like that is, I don't know. And
I'm old enough that the first time I went to New York, Times Square was still full of that kind of stuff. I get you, man. It's a little weird.
Well, it's sad, really.
It's just sad.
Was the thing. And we're like, that could maybe not be as, I don't know. Like, I don't have a particular want to go do that at the best of times. And we all talked about it. We're like, let's just go drink. Like, that doesn't seem like something we want to do. It's amazing, isn't it?
Because to watch the same thing on video doesn't bother you in the slightest. And I don't know if it's because it's staged and made to look better or something, but actually seeing it's a little sad. And I know there's varying degrees
So we met up afterwards with the people that had gone to this, and
they're like, it was the greatest thing ever, man. I can't believe you guys didn't go.
And we were like, so? And, you know, their answers were all kind of like, you know, like, it happened, but it was, you know, it was weird. Like, these were not the world's most attractive people that were doing this. And it was.
Does Ricky want to talk about the fact that his day job is human sex guy?
Wow, that is
a human sex on.
just make that it is beyond untrue.
Just make it sure you're listening, Ricky.
it's definitely definitely one of those things where, like, I guess we don't feel too bad about not having gotten to that, because everyone who walked out of that was just sort of like, so I hope that John, wherever he is in the world, is up to these. Is, you know, I hope that John is in the coffee shop, and I hope he's going to the live sex show.
It's an awesome amount of records. But me being the very practical man that I am, probably practical, you know, father/Midwesterner, all I can think is, oh God, it would cost so much to ship all those stupid records home.
Yes, yeah, I had that discussion with him before
that's the first thing I thought.
And he has this strategy, and we should ask him about it, see if he's actually executed on this. But apparently he has a strategy where he's going to be, he's going to wear, like, go over with, like, the pants that he flew over in. And
so his whole bag.
And bring, like, records are heavy, right? So, you could take as many t-shirts out of your thing as you want, and they're still heavy. So I don't know.
He should buy like a Gollum type hollow clay woman, maybe, or something that he could sit in the seat next to him and just jam full of records. I don't know.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but the, I mean, at best I could think of is like, if he could get like
them all at once, maybe it wouldn't be that bad. Or maybe you could put him in cargo of the plane. I don't know.
I would say you put him in like a drum and you float him back over the Atlantic, and at some point they show up. I mean,
if you're patient, yeah, that would be a good plan.
Anyways, though, so that's where John is right now. So speaking of records, because I don't have any access to the mailbag, so I don't actually know if anyone has sent us things. Let's talk a little bit about that. But before we go here, we'll get into the news and things. So let's do some record collecting talk. So Ricky, you've been quiet as we've been discussing live sex shows. So
yeah. Ricky is very close to the Mexico border. Don't even ask him about live sex shows. You get too graphic too fast.
Yeah, honestly, like, I've been to Europe. I've never been to Amsterdam though. So I am excited to hear about what John has done. If John makes it back, let's be honest.
Honestly, I am such a hardcore party animal that when we were in Amsterdam, I bought a thing of tulip bulbs that we brought home.
That's the thing around here, dude. So there's a city about 30 miles from here, Holland. That's the city. And every May they have this tulip festival. And I swear, like, if you drive off the road and run over a tulip, it's worse than running over a small child. They'll kill you, send you to prison. But it's all the damn tulips, these stupid tulips. Give me a carnation any day.
First of all, I need to give a shout out to Pirates. I haven't even been on the podcast where we've done this in a long time. So excuse me while I kind of go through the old Instagram here and try and figure out what to talk about. Okay, so I got to give a shout out to Pirates Press Records, which I know, I remember the episode where Tom got some free stuff. This is the second time I've gotten free stuff from them. It just arrived.
D Cracks review this week, so maybe I'm in line for some more.
Maybe. Well, and by the way, they tweeted about it. Pirates Press did. They sent me the D's Cracks album and a Booze and Glory, I guess, reggae sessions collection of 7 inches too. Just showed up to my door. I didn't know it was coming, but I gotta tell you, thanks, guys. I gotta say thank you to the guys at Pirates Press Records for that. Really cool of them to do that. So I gotta tell you, like, I don't even think I talked about this. I mean, you know, in January, the Barretts were in LA. We saw Dead to Me in Hollywood. But before that, we went to Amoeba, did some crate digging. And Amoeba Hollywood recently moved their punk section to, like, the back corner. So now it has like a rarities wall and the punk section now. And and the wall has, like, all this really cool, like, old and rare punk records. So it didn't even occur to me to look up, because punk never had its own wall in the 12 inch sections. So I look up and there is an orgcore favorite, and I got the only record I got that day, and it was a White Whale of Mine. It was Civil War by Dillinger 4 on the grayish vinyl, and It was in perfect condition. I said I want it. It was lower than the than what I was seeing on Discogs, in terms of price. So that is a that was a big find for me. That was back in January, though. What else did I get? I got the new Dwarves album on like a heavy red vinyl. That was cool. That's actually one of my favorite records of the year so far.
Are you allowed to say Civil War, or do you have to say it weird because it's implied that there are spaces between all of the letters?
C-I-V-I-L-W-A-R, whatever. Anyway, yeah, I got Civil War, but, and then, okay, I didn't know about this until fairly recently. I actually just, the review of that, just of this just went up, my review of it. Panic State Records reissued Wilhelm Scream's Career Suicide as a double LP. The first LP is just the regular record, and the other side is something called the Black and Blue Demos, which are demos of the of Career Suicide and other songs that would come out later. And it was like not really announced until, at least for, I wasn't aware of it until early 2018, but it came out, it was originally out like in late 2017. So it's and the reissue is actually called Career Suicide 10 Years Later. And I got it on this like white and red marble with blue splatter vinyl. And so and it's a great piece. If you're a Wilhelm Scream fan, it's worth picking up. And then I got the new Lawrence Arms double LP, the collection, the We Are the Champions collection from the Fat Records pre-order. That came, the first one came on gold and blacks, gold with black splatter, and then the white the second record came on white with black splatter. I love that. I think the new songs are fantastic. I love that new version of Warped Summer. And what else did I get? I guess I can talk. I don't even think I talked about this. Fat Records, like, I don't know if they found an extra batch of these, but they did a really small reissue of Until We're Dead by Starfucking Hipsters with like this alternative artwork. And it was only pressed of it was hand numbered out of 100. I got number 30. But what's weird is like it came on like this. It wasn't like a regular album cover. It was done on, it was like screen printed on like canvas, so it's more like a cloth than anything. And that just came on black vinyl, but I'm really happy to have snagged that. And the last one I'll go with, this isn't really something new. I saw the Shell Corporation last month. I think technically it was a record release show, but and they were fantastic. If you can see them, go see them. They are so good. I brought my copy of their prior album, Mandrake, for them to sign. They all signed it. They were very cool. Some of you may remember I interviewed two of them for the podcast and Punk News. So,
what is the Shell Corporation's deal? Like, I feel like I've heard that band's name for years.
They've been around for years.
But I've never clued into what they are. Give the people like a 2 second, like who are the Shell Corporation again?
Oh man. Okay. So, for longtime listeners, I played Ozymandias from their first record. That's like their, in my opinion, that's their best song. That's the song that they ended with, at this show. They are, they're local to me. I've seen them a few times, and what they are, they're kind of this highly political three-part harmony, very aggressive, four piece. Let's see what else. But they don't like, I don't know, like for some reason they aren't paid enough. They don't get enough attention. I feel like, of course it took them a little while to get this new record out, that came out recently. But they're good and people should not underestimate them. If you like attention to detail and lyrics, and you like, really big melodies and really hard hitting guitars, this is a band you should check out. And it's beyond me why they aren't bigger. I've seen them play some bigger venues, but I've seen them mostly play at smaller venues. And I gotta tell you, it is worth it every time. They are so good live. Yeah. Also, take a look at their new album. The new album's called Fucked, and I think La Escalera put it out. It's also quite good. It's also one of my favorite records to have come out so far this year. I'm still waiting on the vinyl for that, but other than that, yeah, check them out for sure. I mean, I interviewed them a couple months ago for the podcast, so if you can go back and listen to that, we play a couple songs from the new record. But the whole catalog is really good. I picked up their older EP that only came on CD at the show, and it everything is good. So, yeah, thumbs up for the Shell Corporation.
Cool. People should go check that out. Tom, what's in your bag?
You know, I have been on the road more than I've been home the last couple weeks. So I was on vacation with my family last week, and I was able to hit a couple of record stores, one in the Cincinnati area and one in the Louisville area. And while I didn't find a ton of stuff, I did find a couple of cool things. I got a copy of the Cramps Flame Job, and which I didn't have, and I got a copy of Stranglehold's Crash and Burn. Stranglehold was like this band that Chris from Gangrene played in after Gangrene. So that was kind of cool. But the thing I found that was most rare and valuable, which I got a real good price on, was you ever hear the band called Feeders? They're like a super offensive, like hardcore punk band from Arizona.
No.
FEDERZ. So I found a copy of Vandalism, Beautiful as a Rock in a Cop's Face. So that's pretty cool. And that's, I mean, the cheapest copies on Discogs are going for quite a bit of money. So I was pretty pleased to scoop that up. And then I was actually in the Detroit area earlier this week. And I found some great 7-inches that I've been looking for. There's a hardcore band from Coldwater, Michigan, like down by the state line of Indiana, that broke up just a few months ago. And I've got both of their split 7-inches that they put out right before they broke up, one with the band Bad Taste and one with a band called Roto Killer. And I found this beautiful ANS, who's like a thrash punk, skate punk band from Texas. It's a one-sided 7-inch in like a teal. And it's got like a weird like writing on the other side. It's pretty strange. It's got like elevated. It looks like it's painted on, like graffiti. It's got 1 6-minute song on the A side. I forgot to say my No Breaks albums. One are 7-inch. One of them is in a marble gray, and one of them is in like a marble lavender. And the last thing I bought was this Hellmouth split with Explode Makeup. It's got a real cool B side of a cover of Hellmouth doing the Bloodstains from Agent Orange. That is black, but it was a record that I'd been wanting to pick up. So I've been buying lots of stuff. That's just a little taste, but I've been adding some cool things to the collection lately, I gotta say.
I'm jealous of both of you. I've been in, like, you know, head down, don't leave the office unless it is to like eat or tuck your kids into bed mode. And so I've been to nothing and have purchased zero.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, there's Record Store Day. That's going to be the big thing coming up in a couple weeks. So
it is
probably a week now. Shit.
I think that we will have some sort of special record collecting thing that is in the works to be released. So, if you enjoy these segments in which we talk about things that we've purchased, there might be a whole episode of that you can skip. So, yeah, and in particular, it might just be John talking about whatever the fuck is going on in Amsterdam for an hour and a half, but you know,
hey, listen, I'm going to be an amoeba at like 3 a.m. Please don't kill me. And, so I'll need some of that hour and a half to rant too, assuming I stay awake.
Well, hold on here. So 3 a.m, is this like you're getting in line at 3 a.m, but they open at 9, or no, are they like open at 3 a.m?
No, I get up at 3 a.m, get there hopefully by 3:30, and then stay in line till like 10 or 11. And there's a last year that it was like, I got there around 4, and for some reason my brother wanted to come with me. So I said, okay, you just have to move your ass.
Is there a thing that you want enough to do that? Because I've never done that for anything.
I got, you know, it's more like for the experience. And I have the list right here. There are a few things that I do want that I'm willing to sit there for. It's also, but again, it's more about the experience and doing it. It's fun.
I imagine that like there's probably like a certain communal group of weird people that
yes
that extremely you get weird, bond yes. with. There was a, I mean, I don't know if this is archived anywhere, but back when those little tiny Nintendos that were being released that everyone was lining up for.
The ones that were like, it wasn't the NES, was it? Or is it Super Nintendo? It was
one of those. I don't know, two. One or the other, right? It was like the size of like a couple packs of cigarettes or something, right? But it was like like a little Nintendo. And people were lining up for them. Justice, who is, who was, I guess, the guitar player for Single Mothers, him and one of his college roommates decided that they were going to go get one. And he documented the whole thing with a series of like 25 Instagram videos in which he sat there and just like obnoxiously interviewed everyone else that was waiting in the line for these Nintendos and like went on little side adventures to get donuts and things like that. And you could tell that nobody that was in the video really wanted to be in it with him, but he was persistent about the whole thing. And it was absolutely hilarious. So, I assume that that's archived somewhere on like Justice Carr's Instagram account or anything like that. But,
It's something to do. I would never do it during Black Friday Record Store Day, but this is cool. Amoeba's going to be having, Patton Oswalt's going to be like doing a signing there too, around 5. I will not be at Amoeba till 5, but it's like a whole big event there. So I think it's definitely going to be fun.
Are there vinyl copies of like Annihilation or something? Like what is he signing?
I think he's signing his most recent release.
Yeah, okay. So it was probably like the Netflix special that he did.
I guess, yeah. Yeah. I didn't watch it, but yeah.
You should watch it. It's really, really sad. So in any case,
well, with that ringing endorsement.
No, because it was the first like special that he did like after his wife died, right? So there's a lot of shit kind of tied up in him doing this. It's good. People should go watch it. I've seen people that like, I constantly see people that have like, this is probably because I follow him on Twitter and he posts these, but like people are getting tattoos of things that he said during that special.
Shit.
So it's pretty nuts. All right. In any case, so let's play a song and then we'll get into talking about some of the news and things like that are going on. And you know, who knows if Mr. John Gentile will show up like, fucking Santa Claus down your record chimney at some point. So anyways, does anyone want this slot here?
I do want to play a song.
Play a song.
I want to play the badass version of Bloodstains that Hellmouth does on this split record I have by them. So this is Hellmouth, everybody's favorite Detroit punk metal, whatever they are, playing the Agent Orange classic Bloodstains.
I'm not
All right, we're back. That was Hellmouth playing Bloodstains. That is the post Suicide Machines band, right?
Yes.
Yes. Ha! See, I know things.
It bears very little resemblance to the Suicide Machines, even at their angriest, honestly. It's so intense.
I remember I listened to them back when they first emerged, and I was still pretty much like a ska kid, and I was not happy.
That probably wouldn't have been up your alley.
No, I was not happy with it at all, and I'm like, nope. So, but I should go check them out.
I'm sure they cry themselves to sleep every night because a young Adam White was disappointed.
I feel like I'm a much more mature person now, and I'd probably be into them.
It's heavy as hell, dude. It's good stuff. Anyway.
So the big news as far as our universe goes, because the fest, they've announced their lineup and what's going on this year. So for the 2018 fest lineup. I guess I should maybe like prefix this with the dates here. So once again, Fest has become such a behemoth that it's really two fests. So there's the pre-fest in Ybor City. Is it Ybor or Ybor?
I think it's Ybor.
Okay.
Yep, I've been there. Just not for Fest.
What?
I said I've been to Ybor City.
This place is spelled Y-B-O-R. Like what nationality? Like what people did this name come from?
Probably Canadian, Adam. I don't know.
No, that's not us.
It's Dutch. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. There's lots of funky shit in the Midwest. It's probably an Indian name. Or the Midwest. I'm sorry. It's in Florida. Florida is hardly the Midwest. I'm sorry. Look,
I've opened up the Ybor City Wikipedia page. I'm going to search for the word etymology. And it's making those noises where it can't find the word on the page because I can't spell etymology. So,
oh my god, this podcast is going to shit.
Fuck. God damn it, Wikipedia. All right, fine. Someone write us a letter and tell us what that city's named for. Anyways, so there is the pre-fest, which goes in Ybor City or Ybor City or Ybor City, whatever it is. That's on October 24th and 25th. Then the fest itself happens on the weekend of October 26th, 27th, and 28th, of course, in Gainesville. So let's we'll run down a little bit of the list of the bands here. I'm going to read the list of bands that are on the website, and then I will chime back in with the list of bands that I think you should actually care about in a second, because I didn't write this article, so I'm sure it doesn't have my bias. So the lineup is going to feature Lagwagon playing their Let's Talk About Feelings record in its entirety. It's the 20th anniversary of that old classic Fat Wreck record. It's going to have Cursive. It's going to feature a reunion set from Piebald. Dead to Me will be there. Metz. Tim Barry, Radioactivity, the post-Marchman band there, Iron Sheik, Reviver, The Stereo. Is The Stereo together or is that a reunion show? I feel like they reunited not too long ago. So the pop metal band Torch, Roswell Kid, Lemuria, a reunion of the band Audio Karate, The Copyrights, Pew Pew Pew, Ricky's Boys Pears, Bad Cop, Direct Hit. This is all just fucking Ricky bands. War on Women, Tsunami Bomb for John, and a whole bunch more. It's also going to feature the last sets ever from both Nothington and Crusades.
That's okay. That is fascinating. But I'll comment later.
Yeah. So that is fascinating. So you can go and head over to the fest's website, and there's lineups and everything else that is there for you to go check out. Before we really talk about anything else, maybe some of the more interesting things that are happening there. Are there any bands from the bigger list that you guys want to chime in on that people might want to know about?
I'll just make my comment on the whole story right now. First of all, you should definitely see Pairs. You should definitely see Direct Hit. You should definitely see Dead to Me. Dead to Me, I've seen twice. I'll be seeing a third time in May. They are fucking fantastic. And I've reviewed, you can read a review of mine on Punk News that I think I got posted in late January. They are so good. They're playing new stuff. So go see Dead to Me. So I want to comment on three bands in particular though. One, the fact that Nothington, I guess, is breaking up, I guess. I mean, they just put out a record last in a 7-inch last year. That's kind of interesting. I've seen them once, I think. Oh, yeah, once in San Francisco. And then Crusades also just recently got back together, which I believe, Adam, you were supposed to review that album.
Maybe. I mean, did they get back? Did they get back together, or did they just like release a record? I didn't feel like they were apart, but
I remember they played some shows together in like Canada. But that was over a year ago at this point. The other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, we Punk News, I guess, favorites. I mean, they're pretty much consensus for a lot of people. It's that Nightbirds are going to be playing shows again, which they were on hiatus.
I gotta tell you, that's about the only band on this initial list that really does much for me.
So yeah, I think, and also Lagwagon is never a bad show. But Nightbirds, like, they are, I've only seen them once. They are fucking phenomenal live. I saw them at Punk Rock Bowling a couple years ago. They were one of the earlier bands, but everyone just showed up for them. Like, they crowded around, the stage, the main stage, quite a bit. And damn, they put on an amazing show. I think their last record was number one, I think,
our staff list. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 2016 or something like that. The album's great. So go see Nightbirds, because because you don't know if they're gonna go on hiatus again or what, but they need to put out new stuff. They need to come here and play shows in California too, because they never come out here, and it hurts my heart.
Well, they should go by van so they could stop by a few other spots on the way, so the rest of us can see them too.
Yeah, but go to Fest. I've never been to Fest. I probably won't go to Fest, but this looks awesome.
You know, it's a not a bad lineup. There's definitely a bunch of bands there I enjoy, but it's not curated for me. You know what I mean? That Punk Rock Bowling lineup tends to be more my taste than the Fest lineup. That being said, I'd love to go to Fest. I'd have no issue with it at all. It's just, you know, Lagwagon is a great band. I have no problem with them, but they're not a travel across halfway across country band for me. You know?
No, but I mean, like, Fest is one of these festivals that suffers from the marketing expectation that there's a headliner,
because it really is about going to see 10 different shows.
Yeah. It's about going to see like 35 different bands play over the course of a weekend, and you not seeing the headliner is entirely inconsequential, because it's not a festival that's set up where there's like a big field with a stage in it and then a bunch of supplemental shit.
Even though didn't they try that one year when the Descendants headline?
Maybe. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't see the setup of it. But like the year that I was there, I'm blanking on the names of some of the venues right now, but there was like a big theater style like venue that some of the big shows happened in. So that's where you're like, oh God, I'm trying to think of who the headliners like the year that I was down there. But like, you know, there was definitely an Against Me show that was there. There was definitely a, like Paint It Black and Hot Water Music and those kinds of things. Right. But there were so many other things going on that you not being at that show didn't really detract from anything, because there was so much happening. The same problem, like Pooza has the same problem where it, you know, again, it's a bunch of bars and venues around the city that are putting on the shows. So you look at the Pooza lineup this year, and at the top of it is like Real Big Fish in huge letters, and that somehow implies that you're gonna go to a bunch of little shit and then go stand in a field in front of the monolith stage where Real Big Fish is gonna play. But that's not the way these things work at all. And you have to market, I guess, so that they list them that way. But like, this is honestly the most interested I've been in Fest in a while. And I'm never not interested in Fest. Like, I would always, you know, given the chance, you know, I would go. It's just, it's never something that is like financially or like I wanted to say socially feasible. By socially, I mean like within the walls of my house. Right. It's never something that makes a lot of sense for me to go to. But this year, there's a lot of Adam shit that is on this list that of course, like Punk News Proper isn't really talking too much about. But like, cool.
And when you say Adam shit, you mean bands that you can see 10 minutes away from your house.
Saturday night. I would totally go see these bands anyways. Right. So like Lost Love out of Montreal is a great little pop punk band, and they're going
down
to
play. They're good. They actually play Grand Rapids. They're really good.
Yeah. So like, it's cool to see them down there. Like Mets is great. It's nice to see them down again. Bands I could see all the time, like, say, like Brutal Youth or Pew Pew Pew, but hey, I like those bands. So they're down there. Partner is playing there, which is great because you don't usually see that band interacting too much with like the punk rock world, right? They're kind of doing their own thing, but Partner is amazing. So that's cool. The Last Crusade show, right? The Last Crusades. Look what I just said. Ding, ding, ding. Indiana Jones. Okay. Fine. No one react.
Yeah, we got it, Adam. We did not laugh because we didn't get it.
It was quasi funny.
Was that your first dad joke?
It was my
first dad joke. No, he's been making dad jokes for 2 years now.
I don't know, but I didn't plan that. It just happened.
You're officially a dad. Congrats.
The fact they haven't slept in 5 years is not that. It's not a dumb joke. The Last Crusade show there is super interesting to me. Now, I feel like I'm getting... I get to kind of cheat on that because I'm going to Ottawa Explosion this year. They're an Ottawa band. They're going to play the thing, and that's going to be their last Canadian show. And fuck, that's all that matters. It's their hometown. But hey, whatever. It's still cool that's happening down there. I mean, for being a band out of this kind of like Ottawa scene, they're, you know, they have a big tie there because they've released stuff on No Idea, right? So they're, you know, it's kind of a cool place for them to go and to finish. So yeah, but there's just a lot of stuff on this lineup that I would be totally into seeing. Nightbirds, as you said, Radioactivity is down there again. This is neat. I'm into it. So
I think what really makes what will really make the difference is this is only the first of three announcements of the lineup. So I'm very curious to know the other headliners. I mean, last year, if I was going to go, like, last year would have been it, because Against Me playing all of Reinventing Axl Rose looked phenomenal. But I'm curious to know who else is headlining it. So Lagwagon is not a bad choice.
How many times have you seen Against Me, Ricky?
I think 8 or 9.
I'm probably about that same number. And like, they're just, I like the band, but they come to me, you know, I've seen them enough times. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when they played one of my favorite records of all time, all the way through, like that's, and I'm not usually a big fan of bands doing that still. Like that was when I'm like, damn it. That was some regrets when I saw the video coming on, but, I'm hoping they do that at Punk Rock Bowling, to be honest.
Yeah, could be. They're headlining a little festival I think you just posted about, kind of close to me. I may or may not go to that. We'll see. It's about an hour and 10 minutes away. Anyway.
So anyways, Fest is coming. All these bands are playing it. It's kind of cool. None of us live remotely close to Florida. You know, I would actually consider going this year with like two exceptions. Is that one, I'm traveling a ton to go to festivals this year, which is not something that I normally do. So I don't know if like, it is like the most wise financial move for me to do it. But I totally got news like today about a super secret punk newsy right around October music festival thing that I might make happen that I can't reveal yet. And that might be what I have to
commit that you to. Might make happen.
Well, I might make happen in the way that Ricky is making the Punk Rock Bowling coverage happen.
I thought it made like you're gonna be the promoter.
No, no, I'm gonna drink the free beer and interview a bunch of bands probably, but we'll see. So, anyways, yeah, that Fest, it's happening. Point number two here: the thermals have broken up. So they posted a Facebook post recently, and they said that after 15 years of a band, they're calling it quits. Their last album was We Disappear, which came out in 2016. So this is their statement. The three-piece said, "We are officially disbanding after 15 years and 7 records. We feel our band has reached far beyond our initial expectations and goals and are stepping away from it while we still cherish it. We traveled further, soared higher, and played louder than we ever dreamed. And we now look forward to a new chapter in our lives, our art, and our friendship. We would like to thank all the great labels that have released all of our records, all the amazing people who have worked so hard for us, and most importantly, to our fans, who we consider to be some of the smartest, sweetest, and most compassionate people in the world. We love you, and we hope to see you again someday." So they've posted this message. The band is done. I don't know. We have not talked a whole ton about the thermals on this show, and it may be because I think that the thermals have, you know, they were more active in like the early 2000s, I think, than they have been now. But man, this is a band that I'm a huge fan of. They've released a ton of records that I really like. They're a band that released that, like, in my head, one of the best protest records of the George W. Bush era, which was their 2016 record, The Body, the Blood, the Machine, which was...
Are you sure it was... Wait, 2016?
Sorry, 2006, not 2016. I'm just adding 10 to everything right now. Yeah, so... Man, I love that record. The Punk News review of it is brutal. Brian Schultz tore it apart. But holy shit, I like that record a lot. Like, I like Now You Can See, which is the follow-up record to it, a lot. So the Thermals were cool. The Thermals were a band that in my world they're representative of something that I've really come to latch on to, which is there is a class of band that by every note or by every measure is an interesting punk rock band, except that they don't project that and they don't hang out in that scene. And then we never talk about them in that sense, right? And the Thermals were doing that, I think, before a lot of people. So I sort of feel that way these days about like Titus Andronicus kind of fits that bill, and a lot of these kind of Canadian-y bands that I'm following right now kind of fit that bill, where you listen to them and you're like, okay, this is a band playing loud, angry, kind of protesty music that's kind of raw and at their own, doing their own thing. It's loud, angry guitar music. So by anyone's sort of measure, so that's a punk rock thing. But they're not the band that's going to go tour with NoFX, right? Like they everyone would say that, oh, well, they're more of like one of these bands that lives in the indie rock scene than it's a band that lives in the punk rock scene. And I'm never quite sure where the line is between those two things in reality, but at least as far as like the internet groups things, they're always in the indie rock end of it. But man, like that, as far as like, they were a cool punk rock band to me. They were a band that like no one else sounded like the Thermals. The Thermals sounded like them. And yeah, I'm sad to see them go. So I don't know if you guys were Thermals people at all, but yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, because I didn't follow this band, but for some reason in the comments, there's a whole bunch of different comments of different kinds of sandwiches. I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand why.
Do you understand? You don't? Are you setting me up, or do you not understand?
No, that? I swear to God, I really don't know why, because I didn't follow this band at all.
Holy fuck. Okay, this is going to sound really weird, but that's not a Thermals reference. It's an Adam reference.
What?
This used to be on our Wikipedia page, Ricky, which has since been deleted because it's not notable. It's not notable, I mean, we're not notable. So there was a band that was called, Phoenix TX.
Yeah. Okay.
Phoenix TX was a band that was like one of these post Blink-182 bands that sounded like Blink-182.
Right.
And of course it was the Phoenix. Yeah, I think it was. So Phoenix TX broke up in like 2002. Or something like that. 2002, 2003. Punk News was a lot looser as far as our standards or things back then. So I wrote an article. You can find it. It's in our archives. That is basically me going. The whole of the article from front to back is Phoenix TX broke up, comma. I'm going to go get a sandwich, period.
Oh,
or something like
okay.
that. Right?
Okay.
And then after I did that, it became this Punk News meme where anytime a band that broke up that Noah, like the way that you would express your indifference would have just be to list your sandwich order under the band. And it went on for years and then it stopped because like all the whole crew that was hanging out on Punk News back in those days has left because we
turned
pissed
over.
Them off.
But Ricky, yeah. if you go back when we first, I came aboard 2014. You did too, I think, earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, like January 2014.
Okay, I was like, I started writing in May, and I was staff in like August or something. I don't remember. But do you remember the T-shirts we had made? John had made up.
Oh, that's
right. Or did
right.
you not get one because it was the Black Flag My War T-shirt,
right.
except for the guy was holding a sandwich. I still have that. It must be buried too. In the bottom of the drawer because I haven't seen it forever.
I was so proud of having that's basically right. like made a meme happen and we didn't, but like, this was like 2002. We didn't call them memes, right?
Yeah.
Like it was just like some in joke that took
off. When Ricky and I finally get together and we just get drunk as dragons and we just start fist fights, we're both going to wear that matching t-shirts and wrap around sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, no, yeah, so I didn't, okay. I thought I didn't
see our post about this. I'm astonished that came back for that story.
I don't know, but there are also some wannabe people trying to fit in on it too, like fit in on the meme as well. So, take a look at them. I mean, it's
wow. I'm impressed.
Adam, you're gone, but not forgotten, Adam.
Yeah, that's nice to know. I mean, I'm not particularly sad about the Thermals breaking up or anything because like they had a run that was a good run. You know what I mean?
15 years is pretty good.
That 15 years, they released 7 full lengths in there. That's pretty good, right? Like that's more than most bands do. And they're breaking up on good terms. So it's not like one of them has committed some horrible crime or has pissed the other ones off.
What's the point of breaking up then, Adam? Why not just, you know, fade away?
That is
like playing in 5 years, you play in 5 years.
That's a good question. And
also 2-part question. I'll do like John does ask you a question with so many parts.
Fuck,
that you
really
can't remember what the question was.
Yeah.
You know me a little bit, what I like. Should I look into this band or should I just let him go, let him slide into grilled cheese mediocrity?
I would let him, I mean, from your perspective, I would let him slide. And that's not
so my taste isn't as good as yours. That's what you're saying. Essentially.
No, but like,
I'm just busting your balls.
No, I think
I wouldn't recommend that you listen to Hellmouth. I get it.
I probably wouldn't enjoy Hellmouth to tell you the truth. No, I mean, they were, The thing about the Thermals that I think might rub a lot of people the wrong way is like their vocalist totally had a distinctive voice and a voice that was, I was like, nasal is not the right thing to put about it, but it was abrasive sort of in its own way if you're not into it, that I could totally see them being a band that would annoy people. They're definitely kind of have that like acquired tasteness to them. And they definitely have like a lot of like roots and ties to this like early 90s sort of like West, or not early 90s, sorry, these early 2000s kind of like West Coast indie rock scene that would have birthed like bands like Death Cab for Cutie and the Decemberists and things like that. Like, not that they sounded like those bands,
wow,
but there was like
really
a
there was like a
DNA that was shared with those bands, because like they played in a lot of those scenes and they played a lot of those shows and things like that. So, if you're being like, you know, coming at this and going like, you're like, I listen to a lot of Gangrene, can I listen to the Thermals? And be like, I don't know if that's going to be your bag, right?
You're making fun of me, Adam, just because I not only do I listen to Gangrene, but I listen to Gangrene offshoot bands.
No, I think you put that into my head, right? So, so I mean, to answer the other part of your question, John, I don't know particularly why bands do this, except that it may just be the "can everyone leave us alone" thing.
You think?
I think like
we're still great friends, but we will never play music together again.
Well, but I mean, I love this, we've exceeded
every expectation thing. I get that they probably did, you know, they probably started out as a garage band or whatever, but I always feel like that's sort of a hollow thing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could say that in any case, but
when we started, we were hoping we'd be really unsuccessful.
I think a lot of bands probably just assume they're going to be really unsuccessful.
Based on personal experience, yes.
Yeah, no, but I think that knowing a lot of people that book shows, I'd imagine it's maybe just to like get that monkey off your back. Like don't try to, it's not so much saying we're not going to release a record for 5 years, because a band like this could totally not release a record for 5 years and not break up, and it would be a normal thing. And I think it's more that like, not only are we not going to release a record for 5 years, but like, stop trying to book us or, you know, interview us or do it or involve us in your festival. Like, I imagine, like, if you're a band that's like this, that has a following, has been around for a while, I imagine there's probably some degree of incoming crap that you have to feel.
What a great country this is, man. People call you up and try to give you money, and you have to make a statement to stop taking their money.
Well, hey, that's how it works. So anyways, yeah, Thermals broke up. So that's the thing.
The earth was too hot, the air was too thin. I took off my clothes, I took off my skin. I crawled to the sea that was calling for me so I could swim. Yeah, so I could swim. Trees over the air that I needed to breathe. When I held with my hands, when I walked on my feet, I took off my clothes, I took off my skin, started shedding my arms to start getting my fins. Crawled to the sea that was calling for me so I could swim, swim the ocean wide. I was only just past the low tide when I to the sweet time. I was already losing my spine. I was sick with horror when my curtain fell. It's the end of the story I was certain to tell. Watching their faces as they pulled me from the sea, feeling for the place I thought my gills would be. Busted and wrecked, justly infected, my body beyond repair. Had no objection, sir, my only questions were, where do I go and will I know when I'm there? But I really couldn't say that I cared. When I died, when I died, yeah, when I died, my head did swell. I said to myself, nature sure took a sweet time. I was already losing. Yeah,
I lost our notes. What are we talking about? Ricky, this next one is you, because neither Tom or I have done any prep. I can explain why I haven't done any prep after the next song, but you go ahead.
Okay, so BrooklynVegan.com recently premiered Elway's lyric video for their song Hold On. The track will be on the band's upcoming record For the Sake of the Bit, which is due out on April 27th, 2018 via Red Scare Industries. And you can watch the video on the Punk News article. I wanted to include this because this is a band that I think is one of the more contemporary orgcore ones at this point. I mean, they've been around for a while. I've seen them a couple times, and this was a fun song. I don't think we need to have the lyric video discussion because I mean it's a cool video. It's a bunch of their live footage of them playing, but I don't know what adding lyrics does to it at all, to be honest. But still, this is something that, while the video itself did not get a lot of comments, that article didn't get a lot of comments, the announcement of For the Sake of the Bit did. And this is a band that the commenters and the readers love a lot. Pretty much melodic punk rock, if you're into that. I've seen them, like I said, I've seen them a couple times. I saw them, God, I think like 2012, open for Teenage Bottle Rocket. And then I saw them I think they had to switch their bassist and guitarist around or something like that. I saw them later, maybe 2013. And no, the kids like this band, so we should at least mention it. nothing.
That's a ringing endorsement.
I have a Reuben on rye.
All right. So yeah, but listen,
a Reuben is a good sandwich, though. Can we talk about a Reuben for a minute? Sandwich. Like it is. It is the prince of sandwiches.
Rye, especially fried. Oh, yeah.
This meme is never going to die. Now.
I think is Elway the prototypical orgcore band? I feel like they don't have quite enough grit. They don't have that like hot water music. Sand and Vaseline.
I don't want to say prototypical, but they are totally an orgcore band from the standpoint of when the first Elway thing arrived on from like as like a CD in the mail was whatever their first thing was, right? When it first arrived in my world, and I took it and I put it in my CD player, which I don't think I have anymore, and put it on, and I played it for a little bit, and I was like, this band kind of sounds like Dillinger 4. And then I moved on. That is dead fucking center.
What you I think they sound like Dillinger 4. Maybe I better go back and listen to them again.
Well, there's a 7-inch that I actually bought that I really enjoyed. It's the one with the guy at the bar, and there's like a devil, and there's a song called Dear Colorado that's actually quite good.
I'm sure this band does not sound like that right now, but maybe I'm conflating them and the Dillinger 4 and Lawrence Arms. But there was a handful of times where, like, I would get a record, I'd play it, it would sound like Dillinger 4 and or the Lawrence Arms, and it would be totally fine, like non-offensive, like non-offensive, not, and I don't mean that in like a in a, you know, it was boring way. I mean just like didn't make me mad.
But there was nothing about these.
While it was on, I'm great. Totally into it. But afterwards, like, I know that there's like three or four other CDs that I have to go through that kind of sound like that right now. And whatever, I feel that like whatever the first Elway thing I encountered, I had that reaction to. And I don't want them to have to wear that criticism these days because, you know, they're still a band. So they've kind of grown into themselves, of course. But
isn't this another band that had to change their name like early on in their career? I'm pretty sure.
Yes, maybe.
I'm going to look this up because I vaguely remember here.
So you're going to Google Elway and try to type etymology and then you're able to spell it. And then
it's going
to
be like, he was the quarterback for the Denver Broncos between 1982 and 1997.
Was there not some legal thing that they had to deal with like?
Oh yeah, look, Elway, no fan of Colorado punk band that pilfered his name. That's NFL.com.
Look at this.
Way to give him a bunch of free publicity then.
Adam, this was 2011. It's an exclusive for Punk News. Elway issues statement on Elway. And this is Brian Yancey, who posted it. Two-time Super Bowl champion and Denver Broncos great John Elway has apparently been made aware of the existence of Fort Collins, Colorado-based outfit Elway, and his legal team has sent the band a document requesting that they change the name, though it's important to note that the band hasn't yet been sued nor served with a cease and desist order letter. Elway guitarist, vocalist Tim Brown was kind enough to offer us his exclusive statement. I guess they never changed their name. I do remember this controversy.
How does Elway the football the football man, how does he own his last name? You don't own your last name.
I don't know. They got an email from a lawyer from John Elway.
Look, I mean, I have been involved in having lawyers send emails to things. Lawyers can send all kinds of emails. The whole point of it is that you get it and you go, oh, fuck, a lawyer has emailed me, right? But that's totally different than being sued
No, wait, and then...
My prejudice against the band. I was always a Joe Montana guy.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this exclusive is like, also talks about how they had to change their name again. Like they wanted them to change their name again. So I don't remember what they were called, but Elway, I guess, did have a name change.
Dan Marino? They were called that?
I don't remember. God, what were they called? Fuck. Well, anyway, the name stuck. The new album's coming out later this month.
Yeah.
I believe. So check them out. It's it makes the commenters happy. It cools them all off from taking shits on us. So check out Elway.
Check out Elway. Ricky, play a song.
Okay, so I reviewed this album a little while ago, but I haven't had a chance to play anything from it yet. So you may remember back in August or sometime in the summer, I wrote a fairly extensive article on VLHS, the Pomona, California DIY venue closing, and I was in touch with the guys that ran it, and one of the people that was heavily involved with it is in a band called Horror Squad, and they are big in the you know, SoCal San Diego punk scene, but mostly like Pomona area. And they sent me the record. Thanks guys for that, and it was cool. I reviewed it, and so I'm gonna play a song from that. Again, the band's called Horror Squad. The album is called Death Posse. You can find that all on Bandcamp and stuff like that. So here is the song I Smoke the Blood by Horror Squad off their album Death Posse.
Magic. You want now? I don't fucking care at all. How bad?
I Smoke the Blood is a great name for anything. All right. So here's why I'm not prepped and why I think that there is a vast conspiracy against me. Not the band, against me personally. That was another dad joke. I'm just on it. So,
dude, the original name of Elway was 10-4 Eleanor. That's a horrible name.
That's right. Oh, how'd you find that?
Elway is way better, and I was no John Elway fan.
Where did you find their album? I mean, their old name.
NFL.com, dude. That same article. You just didn't go far enough.
Guess I didn't. Well, good call, Tom. Adam, tell us about your troubles.
My trouble. These are the troubles. My wife and daughter went to a Girl Guides meeting tonight, which I've learned isn't a thing in the States. You call them Girl Scouts.
Yes.
I don't know why we call them guides. It might be like a Canada thing. Like we're raising
cops, you have Mounties, dude. It's
well, we're raising our young women to become Sherpas so that when you have to, you know, when you have to traverse Mount Logan to, I don't know. Right. So anyways,
it saves several young ladies from freezing to death in any given year.
Yeah. They all have to wear those whiskey dog things. You know, what are those dogs that they have the booze and the.
Oh, yeah. St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's. Yeah. Is that a thing still?
I don't know.
If you get a St. Bernard, does it come with one of those?
I think you have to buy your own flask.
Because, like, my dog is not a booze-given dog at all. And it's just fucking useless. Anyways.
If anything, it steals your booze. Bastard.
Yeah. So my wife and daughter went to this thing, which means that me and where they go to this meeting is just a little bit far out of town, so I can't like drop them off at a meeting and then go home and then come back to get them. Like it is a thing I gotta kind of hang around for. So we dropped them off, and me and my son we went to a Tim Hortons and, you know, got some donuts.
Of course you did, because you're Canadian. What else are you gonna do? To be clear, Adam, you just be out of my curiosity, you have two cars.
No, we have one.
Oh, you only have one car.
We have one.
I'm the only Canadian driver.
I know.
Dude, I have four cars at my house.
Fuck.
Everyone crappier than the last. I have two teenagers that drive. I have a car. My wife has a car.
I actually have five.
I own five because one of them I have parked behind my dad's shop that I need to sell.
That feels expensive and messy.
My car insurance is more than like my first apartment.
Ooh, Jesus Christ. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So
sorry. I just, you know,
no. So yeah.
First world problems.
Yeah. We operate as one car family, and it has good things. That's bad things. The good things is we only pay for the one. The bad things is that sometimes I got to hang out at Tim Hortons with a 2-year-old while my wife and daughter go to a Girl Guide meeting. So we got out of that and we went for a little walk. And let me tell you, this 2-year-old was being a complete coward. So there is a creek, not a creek, it is a river. There's a river that goes through this part of Niagara, which we confusingly call Chippewa Creek. I don't know why it is called a creek. It's a river. And I was trying to like walk my son down on the docks because I figured like he could look for boats and things like that. And as soon as he got like onto the wood of the dock, he's just like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? And he's like, no. Like, I'm like, come with me. And he's like pulling against me. And he's like, I'm not going down there. I'm like, I'm not going to throw you in the river. And he just refused. And I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
Smart kid.
Yeah, I guess. But he didn't. We could have saw some ducks or something. Like, isn't that what you do when you have kids? You go see some fucking ducks. You didn't want to go. So we wandered around for a bit, and then we eventually, you know, ran out of things to do because there's really nothing in this area. And we got back in the car and went back to the parking lot where my wife was and daughter were coming out of this meeting. And we sat in the car for, I don't know, 10 minutes and listened to the radio or whatever, which is to say I listened to the radio. And my son climbed all over me and tried to drive and eventually learned how the power. Well, and he eventually learned how the power windows worked and he was very happy about that. But they come out, they get in the car, and then we had to drive down the street some friend of the family's house because they were giving us baby clothes. And I assume that this worked the way that Tom, like, I assume this was your reality too. Is it like, I didn't realize like until we had kids, how much of like a fucking swap meet it is. Like, it's just like oh, you have a 3-year-old now? I just had a 3-year-old. These so here's like three bundles of clothing.
Have these pants.
Yeah. Like, no. Like, look, it's amazing because, like, I don't, again, saving money here, like, I don't think any of my kids have ever worn clothing that we've bought for them in a store. Right. It's just like,
I think hand-me-downs are better now than when we were kids. Cause, like, when I wore hand-me-downs as a kid, it was definitely a badge of shame.
No, my wife came out of her friend's house having with like, it felt like 40 pounds of stuff, right? That we were given, like there was no exchange of currency for this, right? Well, she bought a box of like Girl Guide cookies, I guess, but that was it. Like there, we got, and there's just this constant churn of like clothing amongst the friends group. It's amazing to me. But in any case, so we were, of course, my wife went into the house and talked to her friend and they picked through whatever they were gonna give to us and whatever. And me and the kids sat in the car and again, listened to the radio and complained as we were waiting for them to come out. This could not have been more than 10 or 15 minutes, but my wife comes out and we go to turn on the car and the car don't start. And this is not a car that does not start. This is a car that starts because
you only have one, damn it. And it better start.
No, it's not. It's none of that. It's a car. It's what is it? It's a 2012. Like it's not old, right? It's a car that starts.
That's like 6 years old now. I mean, that's new. I mean, don't get me wrong. My car is older than that, but
that's new. But also the backstory here is that my father and my brother are mechanics.
Oh my gosh.
Which means my shit gets looked after. Right. So I'm not the kind of person that has a car that don't start. Like my car starts, right? Car won't start. And I'm like, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh fuck. I'm like, the kids are mad. They're tired. They want to go home. The car isn't starting. I got to come home and do this fucking show with you guys. I don't know what's going on. It feels like the battery isn't charged.
Did you, right? Like, did you sit there listening to the radio for a long time without the car running?
Not that look, we cumulatively between these two places in which we drove in between probably did sit around and listen to the radio for 30, 40 minutes. Right. But if you were to go see like a drive-in movie or something like that, like a movie is longer than that. Like the car should not have run the battery down in the time that we were there doing these things.
You're right. That is probably something else going on.
But that is
exactly. Batteries get bad.
But so
and that's also it's possible that your alternator is bad. That's the thing that charges it when you drive.
So this is exactly what happened was that the battery ran down. I had to get jumped and all this to get the car started again. But here's where the conspiracy comes in. So all that I explained is fairly routine. Here's the conspiracy. Earlier today, I'm at my office working at my job. The people that I work at my job with. Call comes into our office and the intern that we have comes in and she's like, Toyota is on the phone for you. I'm like, why is Toyota on the phone for me? Why are they calling me at the office? So I go and I answer the phone and it's some person from Toyota. I'm like, hi, I'm from, you know, Niagara, whatever, Toyota. It's our red tag days this week. Are you coming to the exclusive blah, 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 blah to test drive? Blah, right? Just give me the whole thing, right? Because the thing is, like, if you buy a car and it's a new car, you get on like they're like, oh, we got a Rube here, right? Like, you're on their list where they're going to, like, call you every 45 minutes to get a car in addition to the car that you just got, right? And I've never been the person to respond to these people. We're like I don't know. I have like an old aunt and uncle where they went and they bought that they will trade in a car whenever they get the call from the dealership because they think they're getting a deal, I guess. And it's insane to me because there's just constantly a new car and like, oh, I got a great deal on this car. I'm like, you had a fucking car and it works, but whatever. But they keep doing this. So, but like when we bought our car, we actually bought our car. So like, I don't owe them anything. I don't even know how I'm on their list. I think there was a recall or something. And then I got back on their list, but they're calling me like, oh yeah, it's red tag days. Blah, 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 blah. Are you going to come? And I was maybe snarkier with her than I needed to be because I was like, hey, no, like, I don't need another car. Like, we have the car. The car is the car. It's fine. And B, why are you calling me at work? How'd you even get this number? Like, take my office out of your thing. And then she was like, oh, okay. Sorry, sir. Right. And then she hangs up. But then later in the day, after I was mean to the Toyota person, my Toyota just doesn't start.
Uh-oh, karma.
Right?
Karma.
Or secret karma, kill switch. Yeah.
They have a switch at the dealer.
There was a switch where they were like, this asshole thinks that he's not going to trade in and get 0% financing like a fucking idiot. Well then, fuck him. And they hit this button and then my battery went boo. Right? And I'm sitting there being like, this car doesn't break down. Well, yeah. Until I made him mad. I'm convinced that that's what I've done.
Should we talk about some actual news now or?
No. All right. Oh, it is. Okay. So there's a handful of things that happened this week that involve media that neither Thomas nor I have listened to, but Ricky has. So yeah. Ricky, pick this list, run through
you,
it quickly.
You literally are our John this week. You're going to just,
yeah. This is your show now. I'll shut up.
I've taken over John's job this week and I am exhausted and ready for him to come back. So these two I'm going to do together just because they're coming out the same day. I think they're even from the same country. But and the reason why I wanted to talk about these is because I do I try and cover a lot of the summer festivals, and I keep seeing these bands' names come up, but I hadn't listened to them until maybe a year or so ago. The first one is Satanic Surfers. Recently released a new song called Self Medication. The track will be on their new album called Back from Hell, which will be out on it'll be out by the time you guys hear this, but it'll be out April 13th, 2018. And then No Fun At All will also be releasing an album on April 13th, 2018 through Bird Attack Records. The album's called Grit, and the song that they played, that they released, is called The Humdrum Way. Unfortunately, the YouTube video for it was taken down, but you can find that all, you can find it on their Bandcamp. I think the Satanic Surfers, actually, if I had to compare the two, I actually like the Satanic Surfers track more. You can hear a lot, if you like, melodic skate punk, this is from like the 90s-ish, early 2000s, like this will probably, both of these songs will probably be up your alley. Really good guitar work for the Satanic Surfers. And No Fun At All has some really, really cool vocals. So check these both out. Also wanted to mention,
didn't watch either of these videos. I do tend to like both these bands. Satanic Surfers kick ass, especially.
Yeah. And the one thing, and I'm sure you'll agree with this too, Tom. I got to tell you, like, Bird Attack Records has been killing it lately. They've had some pretty cool releases last year. And this year,
the 88 Fingers Louie album last year, which was very good.
Yeah, they did Class of 86's EP. They got...
Considering that I think they've only been around for a couple of years, as far as I know. Yeah, they've definitely... It's like all the big pop punk labels are gone, and now there's a few that have kind of risen up to fill the slack, and they're definitely one of them that seem to be doing real well.
Yeah, so No Fun At All's album will be coming out through Bird Attack. But if you're not following that label, they're definitely one to keep an eye on. I think were they established? 2012. So they're not that old, but they
go. I only remember seeing them a couple years back.
Yeah, but I mean, they also did the All at Helter record, Wraths, which is Jim Lindberg from Pennywise. That's his other band. They did the A Vulture Wake record, which is what's his name?
Dude from All, Chad Price.
Yeah, Chad Price, which I should remember because I interviewed him, and a bunch of other people from other bands in that band. But they've done a good amount of stuff. So Guttermouth too. So if you're not following that label,
that's where the big money's at, Guttermouth albums.
Yeah. And No Trigger. So take a look at that record label in general. They're putting out some cool stuff. Adam, do you want me to keep going? or
Vicente Martinez Ybor was a Spanish entrepreneur who first became a noted industrialist and cigar manufacturer in Cuba, and then Key West, and then finally Tampa. So Spain.
Well, yeah, Florida was a Spanish colony before it became part of the U.S.
So there you go, Ybor, Spain. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that as a yes, Ricky. Do the next story. And this one actually got a lot of comments too, which makes me happy because I have been following this band since they were on Death to False Hope's website, and you could download their EPs for free. I mean, it's probably been like 8 years I've been following them, so I'm very happy about this. In a recent Instagram post, Direct Hit announced that they have finished tracking their new album. The captions, which I'll read below, the caption mentioned that they collaborated with more than 20 people outside of their band to make it the most manic, wild-sounding record they have ever put together. And we can't wait for you all to tell us how incredible it is. Direct Hit last released their split EP, Human Movement, with Pairs in 2017 through Fat Records, which was my number one album of the year last year. And you can see the official Instagram post below and read the whole caption. I'm extremely stoked for this. This band has been, I'm so happy that they've exploded in popularity, especially in the last like 2 or 3 years. It's great. I love the way they kind of started out as like a kind of like an angry pop punk band, especially with the Dome Splitter days and before, but then they started doing like this hardcore thing with a little bit of melody with some, you know, songs like We're Fucked and others from albums like Wasted Mind, which is also a great record. So I can't wait, and I'm really happy that the commenters are happy with this. Tom, I know you're warm. Aren't you warming up to Direct Hit?
I'm working on it, yes, because I like Nick, and I like the fact that they're from Milwaukee, and I love their live show, but their albums, I'm having a hard time getting into.
Did you listen to Human Movement?
No.
You should.
One of their albums, I think it's Wasted Mind.
You should listen to,
it's so produced. I was shocked how much production there was on the albums compared to their live show, which is a relatively straightforward kind of pounding sound.
You should
and the albums, there's actually a lot of nuance, and I was sort of struggling with the nuance. I wanted to kick more ass.
You should really listen to Brainless God. It's where they really stepped up their game from Dome Splitter.
That might be the one I have. I can't remember. I think I might have Brainless God. Is that on Red Scare? I have one on Red Scare.
That's the Red Scare one.
I feel that like Brainless God could leave Tom confused.
There's a lot of production choices that I thought were odd. It's just the way the performance was captured. I'm having a hard
time. Well, you have to understand the way they went about that record in particular. It was a concept record, and what you should probably do, if you have the time to do it, it's all done. They made a music video for every single song, and you should probably watch. Yeah, exactly. So that might provide some more context for me. When that record came out, they could do no wrong, so I was just into it. But Wasted Mind is also a great record. I think you'll like the Human Movement record too. It was really good because they do a lot more. They do a lot. At least their side has at least two hardcore songs on it. So give that a shot. Adam, Direct Hit. Are you a Direct Hit fan?
I'm unsure. I mean, I'm a well wisher, and that I don't wish them any particular harm. I liked Brainless God, but when I kind of backed up a little bit, I get the dichotomy that they are trying to draw a lot of the time between being a harder punk band and then some of the pop punk stuff that they did.
Right.
But I have so little patience isn't the right word, but like I have so little interest in hearing that pop punk sound, regardless of who's playing it, and it just does zero for me. So that split wasn't super engaging to me. But in general, I like this band. I like the things that they do. They seem to have more ambition than a lot of
really
bands
do.
That have seemed yeah. they're trying to do something interesting, and I really respect that. So, I'm behind on them. I don't think I've heard the stuff on Human Movement yet. Human Movement, was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard that yet. I have to sit down and make a point and listen to it. So I'm behind is what
I would also recommend. I would also recommend you see them live. I think that their live show is fantastic.
I definitely will say that. I only have the one album, and I think it's Brainless God. And it was, I bought it at a show like at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I would recommend going through their whole catalog. In a world where there's a lot of pop punk bands that really don't do anything super different, these guys strive to really stand out, and they do, and it works. You know, when I'm passionate about a band that I have been rooting for close to a decade, and basically been growing as their career has progressed, this is one of those bands that I will sell hard, and I've gotten a lot of people into them, so it's cool. I'm looking forward to see what they do, but shall we move on, gentlemen?
Shall we move on? I think we have one left.
One
left. So I don't need to play a song on here because I'm not prepared. So
no, play a song.
I don't have a song, Ricky.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So this is also a you, because it is something that you were physically at. So maybe let me do the read here, and then you can jump in. So a video showed up online thanks to moderndrummer.com. That featured Strumout playing their song Nowheresville, accompanied by Mr. Travis Barker of Blink-182 drumming for them. So the footage was taken during day one of the Musink Festival, which took place from, what was it, the 16th to the 18th in Costa Mesa, California. So Strumout, we recently announced that they're going to be releasing it's an EP, right? Called Blackout the Sky on May 11th on Fat Rec. And they just parted ways with their longtime drummer are in some degree of flux due to that. So
yeah,
that may be what happened with Travis getting involved here. But Ricky, you were there. What's going on?
So I was prepared. I've never been to this festival before. Until this year, and this is Travis Barker's festival that happens every year in March. I was gonna be hired by another outlet that I write for to write about all 3 days. I would have done it for the money, but I'm not seeing Good Charlotte and dealing with a whole like third day of hip hop, so that ended up not happening because they had someone else do it. But then I get a text from friend of the show, Denise Borders, who runs Punk Worldviews. She's like, hey, I have an extra ticket to this for day one. Do you want to go? I replied, yeah, sure. And so she and I drove down to Costa Mesa. The lineup was Spanish Love Songs, The Adolescents, Strung Out, Fear, and then The Descendants. So day one was a fantastic, fantastic lineup. I was very excited to see Fear. I'm always stoked to see the Adolescents. So what also happened was, if you go on YouTube and you look at Punk World Views, you'll see that Denise interviewed Strung Out, and I guess they have, I forgot his name for the life, I think it might be J.R. R.J. I guess he's from the band Runaway Kids, who's, I guess, filling in for now. But he was drumming for most of their set. And then they had Travis Barker come and do that one song, which is cool. And it's always neat to see Travis play live, because he's really good. And Strung Out put on a good performance overall. I mean, I've seen them a bunch of times, and I can't complain. I don't know what the deal. They didn't play any of the new stuff from this acoustic EP that's happening, but that's their thing. I guess that's their thing. That's going to be their thing, at least. I was surprised about with the festival, not because it was bad. It wasn't bad or anything. It was actually a pretty cool festival. But it was like just as much of a tattoo like convention as it was a music festival. And the way I would proportion it would be like 45% music, 45% tattoos. And then like they had like a small car show of like really old but restored cars, which were pretty cool. So it was neat. Day one was really cool. I mean, I didn't really need to see Good Charlotte open for Blink-182 for day two. And then like Lil Yachty was headlining number day three. So I really wasn't going to make the drive down there three times. So day one was worth it. Descendants, Fear, why not? So, but this video is cool if you're into Strung Out and you like seeing Travis Barker do his thing. Did you guys watch it? Probably not.
No prep.
Not only did I not watch it, but here's my hot take. I don't like Travis Barker as a punk drummer. He overplays it. He overplays everything.
Interesting.
I think he's a good drummer. I just don't think he's a good punk drummer.
I think it's funny. I think he's underutilized in a band like Blink-182.
You go see Blink-182 live and he overdrums. It's too much for the songs. You have to serve the song.
Interesting. That's an interesting, because I've never seen Blink-182 live.
Plus, I kind of think he's a douche, so that probably
he puts on. I gotta tell you, he puts on a good festival. It was fun.
Yeah, Stout Day Three sounds great. Lil Yachty.
Yeah, well, day one was. It was kind of.
Trying to show how cool he is and how eclectic.
I didn't see that. I saw it more as, okay, we're gonna have a regular punk day, then like a nostalgic, you know, late '90s, early 2000s pop punk day. From the days of TRL and stuff like that, and then we just have he does hip hop after that. That's how I saw it, but I could be wrong. Other bands like, oh god, I wouldn't have gone, but still, Descendants killed it, man. They were so good. No,
they're great. They are great. Saw them last year again. They are.
Yeah, I'm seeing them in May. Fear was like. Great. They were really cool.
I only
really
saw
cool.
Fear one time and it was 1999. I would love to see them again.
They were good. I mean, Lee Vang
was an old bastard in 1999.
He's definitely not dyeing his hair now, if he ever was.
I saw a picture of him. He looks like Jimmy Page.
Yeah, exactly. Take a look at this video if you're into it. But I think that's all we got, Adam.
I think that's it. That's pretty good. I mean, we had legit stories. We had me talking about my car running out of a battery for too long. That's exactly what the people want. John didn't call in because he is totally fucking blitzed out of his mind at a sex show in Amsterdam, which is exactly what we wanted. So, anyways, okay. So if anyone wants to write us email, it is podcast@punknews.org. That's how you do it. We are aware that we are approaching the 400th episode of this program. There is literally nothing planned.
We've been throwing around ideas, though.
Well, at the very least,
the entire episode 400 is going to be just John retelling his trip.
At the very least, John has made us a schedule of when we are recording episodes, which is far more planning than we typically do. Yeah. So that's pretty good. So who knows what's going to happen in the next little while. It might surprise you. So anyways, stay tuned.
This has been a Valor Underground production. I am Greg Simpson, producer of this podcast. Hit me up if you want me to mix, master, or produce your podcast, even from afar. Or you got a band you want to come record with me in scenic Lafayette, Indiana? Let's do it. Hit me up at Greg@VelourUndergroundStudios.com.